Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. In just a moment, we'll read scripture. From the very foundation of time, God created mankind to bless him. You remember all the way back in the book of Genesis, God told to Adam and to Eve. He told them that he would bless them. There was an intent by Holy God to bless the very first couple. And the truth about it is, God has created you, and he has created you with a desire to bless you as you walk in obedience and as you follow him and listen to him. But in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, Moses is giving a final address. He's led the nation of Israel for years. He'll soon be walking off the scenes, and he is giving them this final word. In verses 1 through 14, he tells the nation of Israel, here's what they can expect if they'll obey the Lord God. Here's what will happen to them individually, as a family, as a community, and as a nation, if they'll remember the reality, the sobering truth of listening to God and following his directives. But when you get to verse 15 and following, the sum of those verses are simply this. Moses is telling the nation of Israel, it shall come to pass, it will happen, it will definitely be so that someday if you decide you don't want to listen to God, you decide you don't want to obey God and do what he says, Moses says, I'm going to tell you under the word of God what you can expect to happen to you as a person, as a community, as a family, as a land. When you read Deuteronomy 28, 15 and following, it is very sobering how specific God is. This morning I want to do the second part of the message that I began last Sunday morning, the price of turning away from God. Because the same God that said those words through Moses is the same God that still is in heaven today. The Bible says we serve an unalterable, unchangeable, eternal, holy God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I want you to listen carefully. I'm not going to read all of the chapter, but I want you to listen to verses 15 through 17, and then I'm just going to glean a few other verses throughout this passage. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Curse shall be in the city, curse shalt thou be in the field, curse shall be thy basket and thy store, curse shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And then if you'll look over in verse 37, just want to glean one other verse, so many we could look at. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. There is really a high price for turning away from God. We live in a land where there is a tremendous belief in evolution. We live in a land where there is a lot of other worldviews. That is, they don't believe that there is one God. There's a belief of so many beliefs in God. But here's the sobering truth. There is one God. His name is Jehovah God. He has always been, he is, and he will forever be. He is on his throne above the universes of this world, and his word will never fail. When God spoke to Moses better than 3,000 years ago, God said, Moses, this is the message to give to the nation of Israel. This is the message to tell them, this is the price they will pay when they turn from me. You can read Lamentation chapter 1. I won't read that. But you read that, and basically it simply says in the opening verses, the writer says, I walk through the streets, and the streets once filled with people are now empty. Everyone is crying. All the people that used to be friends are now enemies of this land. And he's talking about what he's seeing as he walks through Jerusalem. Will that be America 20 years from now, 30 years from now? You and I know that more and more and more things are going overseas as a land. But listen to me very carefully. It is not a political issue. It is a personal issue with every single person in the United States of America. It determines what you and I and where you and I go. Because you see, there was a time under the reign of Solomon, there was probably no time in all of history, even in our world, where a land was blessed, and it was because there was a following of God. I want to share with you this morning some sobering realities that we can expect as a land if we turn away from God. David Pethers, who is a tremendous preacher who comes out of England, says these words. And England, if, for some of you who know, England is a great city. Or it was the great land where George Whitefield and C.H. Spurgeon and some of those great men of God, but now it's hard to find Christians there. And here's what he said about the United States of America. He said, I see what happened to England starting to happen to the United States of America. But I want you to listen very carefully and very soberly, because every single one of these things you and I need to take to heart, because God didn't tell Moses to tell the people if they believe it. God makes pronouncements and they are. In other words, it does not matter if you believe it. It does not matter if you're convinced. God told Moses, and these are the things that are going to happen. You see, just as God tells you how he'll bless you if you obey him, in other words, he'll bless your income, he'll bless your family, he'll bless your business, he'll bless your enterprise if you obey him. God tells you precisely how he will blight you and me and how he'll blight the land that you and I live in. First of all, the Bible makes it very clear, turning away from God leads to serious curses. Listen. This God who established you and me and gave his only begotten son to die on the cross and gave you and me eternal life, he did not give you eternal life so you could be mediocre in your belief system. He died on the cross for your soul, for your eternity. And the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. If you're a child of God, there ought to be a witness out of your mouth for the Lord God. There ought to be a boldness in your soul that you believe in the living God, and other people around you, they may not want to believe it, but you're redeemed and you're going to say so in love and in kindness. But the Bible says that there's a price that you and I pay as a land, as a people, when we decide to turn away from God. The Bible says in verse 16, there's going to be curses that lead to utter destruction. But God makes it very clear. He said, I will curse you until you are destroyed. Did you hear the word destroyed? In other words, God says, when you decide to turn from me, you have turned from the only one that can bless you, and I will make it my business to destroy you. You see, here's the reality. So many have dilly-dallied with their faith. So many believe that here is a God of heaven. He is a God of grace and a God of kindness and a God of love. Yes, he is. Listen, aren't you not grateful we're not destroyed before we are now? Look at us, we're a land of wickedness, we're a land of so many ungodly beliefs. But God told to Moses to tell the nation, I will make it my business to destroy you. He is the sovereign God, folks. He is the God of heaven. He is the God who brought us into being as a people. He's a God who can take care of us day by day. And he's a God that can deal with us when we need to be dealt with. He is the sovereign God. He is not a God of our imagination. He is not some grandfather type who loses his energy. He is the sovereign God. And God makes it very clear. He said, I will destroy them. Second of all, he says, there'll be a curse on the food supply. Here's an interesting reality that comes from a New York paper some years ago. The title of it was Dwindling Food Supply. And I just happened to look and get some statistics. Did you know that in the end of 2011, corn production was at a 15-year low? Global price of foods at an all-time high. Price of corn has doubled. Even the United Nations has said this. Food prices will increase by 30%. That's the United Nations. Russia, who is one of the largest exporters of wheat, they're having to import wheat into their country. God says, I will make it my business to deal with you. Why? Because your life and your obedience to Holy God is serious business. One person's obedience can turn the world. You don't believe that? Look at Noah. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord caused the human race to be spared because of one man. You don't realize the power of your obedience. But also, we don't realize the power of our disobedience either. You see, this wasn't a gradual thing, or this wasn't just disobeying God over one small thing or just doing one bad thing. It was a turning away from God. It was a turning away from God in the daily activity of life. It's amazing how many who name the name of Christ believe that it's all right to be unethical if it promotes your business. Let me say this. God has always been God, and God's standards are absolute. There is no turning from God. In other words, you don't deviate His laws. They're permanent. They're etched. And God told through Moses, said, you can count on it. Not only that, but third, there'll be a curse on the production. It's interesting. Israel didn't have plants and industries like you and I know. But God still said, I'll curse your production. I will deal with your production. You'll know that I'm the Lord God. Why? Because it is a serious price to turn away from God. You see, God declares that there would be a curse on livestock. In other words, what God had blessed because people had obeyed Him. You see, you should get the picture. Here's the God of heaven. He loves obedience. You cannot obey God and not get paid for it. You can't listen to the Word of God, obey the Word of God, apply the Word of God, and just hope you're going to be blessed. Listen, God will rain His blessings on your life if you obey Him. That's simply the way it is. You walk with God, you obey God, He's going to promote you. That's what He says. But God said to Moses, you tell the people, I will curse their industry. Let me just give you a few statistics. Stores closing, Ann Taylor, 117. Foot Locker, 140. Sprint, 130. Lowe's closing some stores. Dillard's closing some stores. GM has recently moved production to Shanghai, where cars are now shipped here to the U.S. from Shanghai. In a recent United States poll, and this comes out of Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Coming Economic Earthquake, it says this. It's been the United States that's always been the quickest to recover after recession. But it's not now. China, it's hoped that China will pull America out of the recession. God makes it very clear. I will curse your industry. Because God is serious. In other words, God was saying to the nation of Israel, I want you to know there's a price to pay. God says, I want you to know that your personal life is serious business to God. There's a personal price to pay, and it will come to pass. It will be evident. Fifth, there's a curse of confusion and panic and frustration in verse 20. The truth is, Israel would find herself in disobedience, and if you ever notice, disobedience leads to panic. We're the most frustrated world, most frustrating time, I guess, in our world that I've ever known. You listen to people, and here's what they say. I am so much under stress. I'm so worried. I just don't know what to do. It's amazing. I've talked to doctors and talked to nurses and working in part where I do on contract with Oak Tree as a chaplain. It's amazing to hear stress-related issues and stress-related sicknesses. Listen, we make major issues of saving the planet, but we don't make major issues obeying the God who created the planet. Billy Graham said it well. We're afraid of offending everyone except the Lord God. And you have a responsibility. Every one of you under the sound of my voice, it doesn't matter how educated you are, it doesn't matter how much you know or how little, you have an obligation to the Lord God to obey the Lord God. God has purposed your life for obedience unto Him. And God says, you obey me and you watch the blessings come. But God said to Israel, you disobey me and you will watch what I will do to you. Why? Because God is the sovereign, and God has created us and given us eternal life. And as he gives us eternal life, I can tell you this. Listen, sometimes you obey God, you don't understand what he's doing, but you'll never go wrong by obeying God. And you see, when you disobey God, it's basically saying this: I don't want you interfering in my life. I don't want you guiding my life. I don't want you directing my life. I'm going to be the boss of my life. Look at the world we're in. Look at the mess we're in. We're a land, listen, one economic expert said, our debt will never be paid. Under no circumstance, we'll never get out of debt. What will happen, it will be continually turned over and turned over and turned over until the lenders say, no more borrowing. Some of you are in business. Somebody's borrowed from you, and finally they came in to borrow one time, and you said, I'm sorry, no more borrowing. And the reality of it is it's a personal issue of obedience to the living God. Listen, here's what I listen to, and here's what I hear. Well, it's the government's fault. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. Listen, God blesses obedience. It is expected of the redeemed of God to be obedient. It's expected of my life by holy God to obey him. It's expected by every one of us if you name the name of Christ. But God says, I'll curse you. Sixth, he says, you'll watch and there'll be deadly diseases. Folks, we're the sickest I believe we've ever been in the history of our country. There are 955,768 beds in 5,759 hospitals in our country. Did you get that? Just a few beds shy of a million beds. We're a sick country. Think about the medical expenses and all of that. But God said, I will make it my business. Why? And we want life without any interference. Listen, you're made to need boundaries. I remember as a child, you know, my dad would set boundaries for me. My mom would set boundaries for me. And, you know, I'd walk up to them sometimes and I said, I want you to know I'm your son. And I know best for my life. Don't you set me any more boundaries. Oh, I didn't say that. I would have found myself across the room. I'd probably found myself across the fence in the neighbor's yard. You know why? There is something inside of you, you know you need boundaries. There is something inside of us that we know we don't know what's best for our life. And holy God says to you and me, I will tell you what's best. And as you follow it, you will discover adventure, excitement, blessing, abundance upon abundance upon abundance upon abundance. That's simply what you'll find. That's exactly what happened to Israel for a season. That's exactly what has happened to the United States for many years. But no more. We're a land that is slowly but surely turning. We're turning to relative beliefism, atheism, agnosticism. We're turning to all these different isms. And many of it is birthed out of simply fact that I don't want anybody interfering in my life but me. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. What I'm preaching to you is not what might be. I am preaching to you and telling you what will be. There is no option, friend. It doesn't matter if you ever believe this message or not. This is what will be in our land when we turn from God. And see, not only that, but sixth, the seventh. In verse 25, God says, I'll send a curse on you and you'll be defeated by your enemies. When you look in Deuteronomy 28:24-25, God says, I'm going to make it my business to withdraw my hand of holy protection from you. Some of you know what it's been to be in war. I remember one Christmas Eve when my brother left for Vietnam, just outside of Vietnam, Thailand. That was the blackest Christmas. I guess I watched him going get on that American airline and next stop, Thailand. Not knowing if he had come home, and some of you faced war and you faced incident. You fought for this precious country. You fought for this land. You fought for this wonderful, gifted country that we call the United States. But listen to me very carefully. God said to Israel, I will remove my protection from you. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. This is a fact of history. Israel, for years, could not be defeated. Because when they found themselves in situations, chaotic situations, they knew that only God could sustain them. But it came time that they became so arrogant, and God removed the hand of protection when it came to warfare. And there was a country outside of Babylon, to the north of them, or outside of Israel, Babylon. And they came and they marched on the city, trampled it underfoot, took a lot of the spoils, a lot of the people back. And no doubt the people were wondering, God, where are you? I'm sure maybe some could remember. God told us this would happen if we turned from Him. God told us what would take place if we decided we wanted to listen to Him and obey Him. And that's exactly what happened. When you read Lamentations, you're reading about a city left desolate after an invasion has taken the people, taken the land, destroyed it. And you see, here's the reality. We live in a land where we have a tremendous military. God has blessed us. God has gifted us. But you know what? I was listening to some in high positions of command. We used to be able to militarily fight four different wars at the same time. But we don't even have the manpower to do that now. But here's what's something else, too, is you and I don't sense the same protection of God over this land as we once did. And you see, here's what God told Israel. I will let your enemies defeat you. I will let them because of the price of turning away from God. Then he said that there'll be incurable affliction. Now, you say, well, Pastor, this is a pretty serious message. Yes, it is. Because, listen to me real carefully, we're at a serious time in our history. I'm talking we're at a serious spiritual time. I'm talking about a serious spiritual time of believers. I'm not talking about an election coming up. I'm talking about believers waking up to their serious personal responsibility before a holy God. I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility before God to walk with Him and to listen to Him and to obey Him. He loves me. He has His best for my life. And you see, here's the reality. If God has the right to bless me, listen, and I'm created by God. He is the one who gave me life, gave me breath, birthed me, brought me into this world. He alone has the right to do whatever He wants to, and it's all within His holy character. And you see, the reality of it is, God told through Moses, this will happen. And you know what really was intriguing was this. If you listen and listen to the people of Israel real carefully, they didn't believe it would happen. We've got the corner on the blessings of God, was their belief. We are the people of God. God miraculously birthed us. Look back at Abraham. I mean, we're from His lineage. We're from His line. And there's nobody that has the beginning like we do. There's nobody on the face of the earth that has the foundation like we do. Look what God did for us at the very outset. And that's why God had to speak through Moses so seriously, because many of them didn't believe that God would do what He would do. But He did. It was 1,500 years, 15 really to 2,000. You can read it in the book of Ezekiel. Israel was not a nation. But God was prophesying. He said there'll be a time when Israel becomes a nation again. It's in the latter part of Ezekiel, I believe 38 through 40. God sent Israel to the four winds of the earth. He removed them as a nation. I listened to a preacher who's been dead a number of years, and it was sobering because it was a message at the turn of the century. And here's what the preacher said. He said, there'll be a time that Israel will be a nation again. And you know, in 1948, Israel became the nation again for the first time. But here's the point. It doesn't matter if you've had a miraculous beginning. Doesn't matter if the finger of God has been upon you. When a land turns away from God, there is a high price to pay. And that land will pay that price. You see, we're a land who, we're just getting poorer and poorer. We're getting poorer spiritually. We're getting poorer mentally, emotionally, psychologically, not just account financially. Here's the reality. God said that will happen. Well, he said, I'll devastate your income. I'll devastate your economy. Did you know that in 2008, Social Security and Medicare consumed one-third? Get this. This is in 2008. It's changed quite a bit. But in 2008, it consumed one-third of the federal budget. Now, I've said all of that, and you say, is there hope? I want you to listen to me real carefully. I want you to listen. Listen real carefully. How many people were righteous in Noah's day? How many people were righteous in Noah's day? Raise your finger if you know. If you're asleep, you can wake up. One. Did you get the picture? Listen to me very carefully. Your righteous life will affect the world. Do you realize if you make righteousness a big deal to your life, it will affect the world? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, you know it well. I'll just say it to you, but I want you to listen to it. God said in the previous verse, if I shut up heaven and there'd be no rain. In other words, God says, if I have got the world's attention, if I have allowed these things to happen, God says there's something that will cause me to move. There's something that will cause me to listen. There is something that will cause me to stop and pay attention. And you know what that is? It's not religious activity. It is the people of God. It is you and me humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves. Lord God, there is no one but you. I turn to you. You're the only hope. God says, if my people, now notice he didn't say if the world. He said, if my people, if those who know me, if those who are redeemed will humble themselves and pray. And I want to ask you this question. Are you humbling yourself before God? Are you praying? Would this world be destroyed and you not prayed? I honestly believe this. I believe this world would blow up and some believers would never pray because they really don't believe that their prayer life matters. Your prayer life matters to God. It matters significantly. Listen, he didn't say the prayer of a perfect person. He said, if my people just humble themselves and pray, God, hear our prayer. Lord God, and I honestly believe that there's many people crying out to God. There are many people listening to God and talking to God and turning to God. But here's what God says. If my people, if the redeemed, if those who know me by grace through faith will humble themselves. What do you mean humble yourselves? Not just pray as you go, but Lord God, there's no hope but you. There's no help but you. You see, it's one thing to pray as you walk. But it's another thing to get on your knees because you see your world, this land, going away. Listen to me real carefully. I see the America that I love going away. I'm not saying it to be fancy or just to say it. I see it going away. The land that I was raised in, I happened to listen on a little video the other night to Red Skelton. He was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. This was back in the mid-60s. He said, wouldn't it be something if the pledge was taken out because it was considered a prayer? I see the land that I love going away more and more from God. Listen to me real carefully. You're the only hope for this land. You're praying. You're humbling. You say, God doesn't hear the prayers of wicked people. God doesn't, you know, people say, we need to pray. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of 5,000 righteous people, right? Wrong. A righteous person. You know what that means? That means the future of this country has been placed in your hand, placed into your prayer life, placed into your personal hand. Will you pray? He said, if they humble themselves and pray, and you turn from your wicked ways. Are there wicked ways in your life? Are you being dishonest in some things? Is there a lack of integrity in some other things? You say, well, now nobody's perfect. God says, you and I have to turn from our wicked ways. You see, it's amazing how this sinful world tells us certain things are all right. It's amazing how many believers and how many men and women are on Facebook and on these other things and using those means as flirtations because emotional attachments, and how many are doing this and that through email and through internet and through all these other things because I feel like nobody will ever find out. God says, I place the world in the palm of your life if you'll humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. Listen to me real carefully. It doesn't matter how wicked this world gets. I want to die climbing, don't you? Amen. I want to die walking with him. You see, there was a population of people on the earth that God said about them, the earth didn't deserve them. Because they were men of integrity. They were women of integrity. They were men who loved God. They were women who loved God. And they knew that all they had in the world came from Holy God, and they lived that way. Where will this world find itself because of you? Where will it find itself because of me? Will your prayers be serious enough to affect this nation? Or are you like others, say, well, my one life doesn't matter? Let me raise a question to you. If your life's not that important, why didn't God let you die years ago? Why are you even here if your life's not important? Here's the facts. Your life is serious business. And God said, I'll listen from heaven. I'll heal your land. God, nobody can heal this land. You're exactly right. Nobody. No political system. But you know what happens? When people come back to God, they get honest. They get honest about their taxes. They get honest about their tax return. They get honest about integrity. They get honest about their walk with God. They get honest about clocking in at work on time, giving a full day's work. They get honest about leaving and leaving not at 3 o'clock when they're hired till 4 o'clock. They leave at 4 o'clock. But God said this, if you don't listen to me, if you don't hear what I say, if you reject me, all these things will come upon you. All these things will come upon our land until we're utterly destroyed. And we're not as far away as we think. What is your responsibility? Dear Father, You remind us you're serious about our walk. You're serious about our obedience. Lord, we can believe what we want to believe, but we'll never change your word. And Father, in my own heart, I want to be clean and pure before you. Cleanse me afresh and wash me to realize that the people of God have been given the opportunity to affect the world, to affect the world through prayer is awesome. To know that one person whose life is pure before you, his or her powers, prayers are powerful and effective. Father, I pray this morning for that person or persons who maybe they realize through this message they're trivializing their Christian life. They're not trying to make an impact. They're not trying to make a difference. They're just going through the motions. They're not impacting other people with the love of God. They're not impacting other people with the kindness of God. And Father, you remind us a land that turns from you pays a serious price. That is the way it is. Father, I pray for those this morning who may need to respond. Pray for that person or persons who's saved. Maybe they're members of other churches and they need to come and join this fellowship. Would you lead and guide in this invitation? In Jesus we pray.